Welcome to Sojourn Discipleship. At Sojourn Community Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we are committed to helping you flourish with friends because life is too precious to waste.
What's up, Sojourn family? This is Pastor Rusty with our last episode of practices to help you grow in your love for Jesus. We hope you enjoy the episode today, and we also hope that you incorporate these practices into your life over the next month. Be sure also to check out the show notes for additional resources. Tonight, we're talking about what I like to call a forgotten discipline. It goes under your communion category in your rule of life, if you remember that from way back when we started a year ago. If you don't remember, you can go on the Sojourn Discipleship podcast and check out that first episode about a rule of life and figure out what all that is. But this one tonight goes under communion in your rule of life. It's a practice that we avoid. At least most of us avoid. However, it's a practice that if we start to do it, it will bear much fruit in our lives. So the forgotten discipline, the forgotten practice that we're going to look at tonight is fasting. Now, I've shared this illustration before, and I try not to, recycle illustrations, but I can't help it because I love it so much. Rachel and I, especially when we were early on in our marriage, we really loved the show Frasier. Do we have any Frasier fans? Nope. Nope, hate that show. All right, well, cool. So Rachel and I liked it when we were newly married. And there's an episode where Frasier, who has a radio show, he's asked to put together a jingle. Like an introductory jingle for the show. And he starts developing this jingle. It's supposed to be like 10 seconds or 30 seconds. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until finally he has the entire Seattle Symphony in a room with like a 10-minute long jingle that he's making. And his dad comes to him and says, "Frasier, haven't you ever heard the saying, less is more?" And Frasier looks at his dad with crazed eyes and says, "Yeah, but if less is more, then how much more could more be?" I love it. I love that. I love that line. It's my favorite moment in the entire show. And what I love about it is that I don't think any phrase better captures the insanity of our consumeristic culture. We live in a land of plenty, and we live with so much plenty in our lives. And as we saw this past Sunday in our sermon, as a culture, we despise emptiness. So should we be surprised that the practice of fasting has fallen on hard times in America? I don't think we should. So we need this forgotten discipline, probably more than ever. However, for most of us, it's the farthest thing from our minds. We don't even think of it as a possibility. So what I want to do tonight to begin with is I want to give you three reasons for why fasting should be a part of your life. I'm literally going to try to convince you that fasting is good for you and that you should do it. So let's roll through these three reasons. The first, we want to look at fasting as resistance. Fasting as resistance. So fasting embraces emptiness in a culture that is filled with excess, and it doesn't take too long for us to see our excess as a culture. You know, there's too much food, too much drink, too much Netflix, too much social media, too much you fill in the blank with whatever it is that you love to consume. What fasting does is it levels the scales and it brings balance back to our lives. Fasting also exposes, and this is one reason why we don't fast, because fasting is painful for us. Fasting exposes our disproportionate desires. So the moment you stop giving into that thing that you're so used to giving into, you start to realize how much you really like that thing that you're fasting. In addition, when we fast, it reveals to us how rarely we truly hunger for the excellent food, the excellent cuisine that God provides for us, right? Jesus is described as the bread of life. Jesus is described as the true and living water. Isaiah 55:1 comes to mind, where God says, "Come, all who thirst, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come. buy and eat. So the scriptures paint this picture of God's presence as a feast that is free to all who come. All you have to do is come and eat and feast. And yet, so often we rarely hunger for God's cuisine. Why? Because we have spent our days snacking on fast food. We've just been filling up our appetites with created things rather than enjoying the Creator. So through the self-denial of fasting, we resist consumerism. And through regular fasting, what you will find can happen for you is it can actually change your taste buds over time. And we understand this when it comes to eating and food, right? If you just ate McDonald's all day, every day, you would think that's the best food out there that's available for you until you have the opportunity to eat at a five-star restaurant. And you're like, oh, I never thought food could be like this, right? But even then, like, you can also think about this in terms of, like, you know, Diet Coke or soda. Do we have any soda fans in the house? I know I'm a Southerner and I shouldn't say soda. Any soda pop? But anyway, you know, so like Coke, right? There's a good Southern word. Everything's Coke. You know, you drink that and you're like, I want it. I crave it. And then you like try to drink water and you're like, ugh, water. That's disgusting. I want my Coke, right? But as you drink more water, you begin to realize, oh, actually, all that sugar is not really making me feel all that great, especially after you get past 30, and then you really start to feel it. Anyway, all this to say, fasting, what it does, if you regularly fast, it changes your taste bud to enjoy the food that is good for you and the food that is lasting. So Psalm 34:8 becomes our reality. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus' words in John 4, verse 34, where he says, my food is to do the will of my Father, right? Fasting reorients us to begin to desire the things that are good for us. So fasting as resistance. Second reason why you should fast. Let's talk about fasting as a grief ritual. In his fascinating book, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, Francis Weller points out that every culture except ours has rituals to help people grieve and to support the grieving. And as Weller points out, we literally do not possess practices to help us digest our grief in healthy ways. And the result of that is it wreaks havoc on our minds, it wreaks havoc on our bodies, it wreaks havoc on our souls. And as we look to the scriptures, the Bible is no stranger to grief rituals, right? Every culture, except ours, has grief rituals, even the Bible. So when tragedy would strike in the Bible, whether if it was the personal loss of someone through death, or an individual in the Bible grieving their sin, I'm thinking of David after his sin with Bathsheba, right? If it is a national grieving, a national lamenting of loss as a nation, or a national grieving of sin as a nation, I'm thinking of Nehemiah chapter 1, where they hear that the walls are in disrepair, we see the same thing happen whenever grief strikes, and that is the characters, those figures in the Bible, they do a couple of things. Do y'all remember what they do? They tear their clothes, they dump dust and ashes on their head, and they fast. Yeah, someone said weep. They do weep as well. So you were right. We were both right. Everybody's right. Don't feel uncomfortable. Okay, so anyway, and with that fasting, their empty stomachs were a mirror to their empty hearts. And so fasting, what it does is it reminds us that we are embodied souls. And as we practice fasting, it can actually help us to digest the grief that we carry in healthy and in positive ways. So third reason to fast, let's talk about fasting as training. A lack of food typically results in weakness, not strength. However, fasting is different. When we deny ourselves food, or any other experience that we're craving and we're longing for. What's actually happening in that moment of denial is we are strengthening our self-control muscles. So those who struggle with addictive behavior, whatever that addiction could be, it could be addiction to sex, to food, to social media, to flattery, to substances, to televisions, to sports, to whatever it is that you crave and you enjoy being consumed by as you're consuming it. Whatever the addictive behavior is, those folks rarely think in their fight against their addiction, well, let me try out fasting. That will help me. But it can, because discipline in one area of your life multiplies discipline in other areas of your life. So if you find that you can't control your appetites, if you find that you are constantly giving in to temptation and into your inordinate desires, try fasting something completely different than the thing that you're struggling with. So for those who have an out-of-control desire for sex, and they're using their sexuality in unhealthy ways that God does not intend, they could actually step back and say, I'm going to regularly fast meals. I'm going to fast food. Or for those who are struggling with alcohol, and they're like, I just end up drinking too much, right? You certainly can try to cut alcohol out of your life. That's probably a good thing for you. It's probably wise. However, you could also step back and say, let me fast social media. And as I grow in discipline in one area, it'll help me in others. This practice grows your ability to say no to your desires. And it also grows your ability to turn to God in prayer. And that last part is so important. I want to highlight the idea of turning to God in prayer. And I'm going to highlight it by actually calling myself out in this talk thus far. Okay? So you can fast for the three reasons that I just gave you: fasting as resistance, fasting as a grief ritual, fasting as training. You can fast in each of those ways and never think about Jesus. There are many folks who use fasting apart from Christ, a Christless fasting. You even think of folks using fasting for dietary reasons or for health reasons, right? And you will experience some positives from fasting, even if you're not thinking about Jesus. However, if you do that, you're entirely missing the mark and the point of fasting. Here's true fasting. This is what true fasting looks like, and this is when true fasting happens. It happens when we deny ourselves an experience. So we're embracing emptiness. We're saying, I'm not going to satisfy myself in this way, right? So there's a putting off in true fasting. So we're denying ourselves an experience, but here's where true fasting comes in. Is that we then reallocate our time, our energy, and our desire toward Jesus in prayer. That's when true fasting happens. You're denying yourself an experience. You're reallocating that time, that energy, and that desire toward Jesus in prayer. And this is why if you read spiritual discipline books, books on different disciplines, you'll always find fasting in the section on prayer. And historically, and even in the Bible, when you look at the instances where fasting is talked about, it's always talked about really as prayer. We can think of Luke 2:37, where Anna the prophetess goes to the temple every day worshiping, and then her worshiping is described as worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. So it's not enough for us just to stop certain activities. We must then also pay close attention to Jesus in prayer in our fasting in order for it to be a delight and not drudgery, right? We're not just talking about like, you know, asceticism for asceticism's sake, like, oh, I'm just going to be a disciplined person and not do the things I like. No, we're talking about emptying ourselves of some sort of comfort so that in that emptiness we might experience the fullness of joy in our relationship with Jesus. We also must, as Adele Calhoun puts it in her writing, we must taste the difference between what truly nourishes the soul, the living bread and the life-giving water. We must taste the difference between what truly nourishes the soul and what is simply junk food. So, this month, I want you with your life groups. If you don't have a life group, we'd encourage you to get connected with one. You can check out the website. You can chat with Mark, and we can start getting you work towards getting in one. But we want you with your life groups, with your friends, to begin talking about fasting, and we want you to actually fast together. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute, buddy. Didn't Jesus tell us that we should fast in secret? Because if we don't fast in secret, then our reward is just getting a couple pats on the back. So what do you mean I should go tell my life group that I'm fasting? Well, did Jesus say that? Absolutely, he said that. Specifically, he said it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, where he also said, don't fast like the hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite out on the street disfiguring your face, making everybody think you're some kind of religious person. Instead, fast in secret, right? So yes, you should not this month go on social media and say, hello world, I'm fasting. Look at how holy and religious I am. Look at how dedicated I am to Jesus and my church, because my church told me to fast. We shouldn't have that kind of a posture. And if you do, then yeah, your reward's going to be maybe a couple likes. Although in our culture, because it's a forgotten discipline, people will probably just tell you you're a weirdo, as opposed to in their culture, right? However, It is good to talk with your friends and to discuss fasting with a small group of people. Jesus talked with his disciples about fasting. Surely they did it together even. So it's good for you to talk this out with your group and to encourage one another in the process, knowing how hard it is for us. So some good questions for you to process with your group would be questions like, what do I want to fast this month? Do I want to fast food? Do I want to fast alcohol, television, social media, checking work emails during family time or friend time? Maybe you say, I want to fast aimless internet scrolling. Maybe you just say, I want to just fast my phone. Like, this thing is killing me, and it's not helping me in my life, and I want to put some boundaries and fast in this area. Whatever it is that consumes you because you enjoy consuming it would probably be a good thing for you to process with your group. Should I fast that? You can also ask the question, how long will I fast? For an hour? For a day? For a week? And then finally, you can process that all-important question with your group. How will I reallocate my time, my energy, and my desire toward Jesus in prayer? Friends, Jesus made us for himself. So over the next month, let's taste and see that the Lord is good through the practice of fasting. All right, folks, there you have it. We would love for you to embrace the experience of emptiness in fasting this month so that you might experience fullness in Christ. Again, be sure to check out the show notes for some scriptures for reflection, as well as questions for your life groups to discuss. And Sojourn, enjoy the process, and peace be with you.